When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
With the 2022 NFL Draft beginning on Thursday night, we discuss Aiden Hutchinson and other potential Michigan first-round picks. Plus, what other Wolverines are likely to hear their name called during the three-day event. All ahead on Wolverine Confidential. Aaron, good to be with you on this Tuesday morning. And I know we're still recording virtually, but it seems like I've been seeing a lot of you lately. I mean, we had that meeting in the office last week for the first time in who knows how long. And we went to the Tigers game on Thursday and saw Miggy come up short of getting his 3,000th hit, and then saw you again Saturday night. So I'm sure my McMahon fatigue will return eventually, but not today, as we have the NFL draft to discuss.
Were we supposed to mention the Tigers game? Because I think we played hooky that day. I don't even know if the bosses knew about it, but whatever.
I still did some work when I got home. So
there you go.
Unfortunate that I honestly, like, not seeing Miggy get that hit and seeing everyone boo and chant Yankee suck was probably more enjoyable for me, at least, than seeing him get his 3,000th hit. But anyways, pivoting here to Michigan football. Should be a busy draft for the Wolverines, and there could be some guys that go on Thursday night.
Yeah, Michigan's got up to, I guess if you want to count the bottom guys, 11, 12 draft eligible players this weekend. Realistically speaking, we're probably looking at anywhere from 6 to 9 that go. But yeah, it's a pretty typical year for Michigan. I mean, under normal circumstances, this is about the number of players Jim Harbaugh and this program put into the NFL each year. So it's no surprise there. As you mentioned, Aiden Hutchinson could potentially go, you know, number one overall. That's not a shocker either. If you've been following this Michigan football program for a long time, it's just a matter of when and where all these guys, the rest of these guys, are going to go.
Yeah, I know. And I, for the longest time, it seemed like Aiden Hutchinson seemed to be the front runner to go number one overall. And then is like what commonly happens with the NFL draft, there seems to be some late winds blowing and some shifts in the draft order. And now he could be a realistic possibility for the Lions at number two, it sounded like.
Yeah. The more we hear, the more it sounds like that he may fall to number two. You know, and this, I guess, at least from my perspective, isn't a shock, because when we were at the combine in Indianapolis a few months back, you know, I came away from Trent Baalke. He's the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, his press conference with the media, I came away thinking, at least reading from the tea leaves, that they weren't necessarily sold on Aiden Hutchinson. Now, it wasn't clear which direction they were going to go, because they kind of left it open-ended, obviously. And a lot of folks are saying, well, maybe you should, you know, draft an offensive tackle to shore up things for your young quarterback. Maybe they go a different direction on the defensive end, edge rushing position. But I came away thinking, and again, number one, teams the number one overall pick, you obviously don't want to telegraph things. You want folks to think that you can go any which direction. You want folks to think, well, maybe there's a trade possibility there. We don't know what the Jaguars are doing, but the more, you know, the closer we get to the draft Thursday night, the more it sounds like Aiden Hutchinson may not be number one. Now, if he doesn't go to the Jaguars or number one, I find it hard to believe he goes any further than two. I mentioned at the combine, it wasn't sold necessarily on the Jaguars being interested in Aiden Hutchinson. I was sold on the Lions. It sounds, and our Lions reporters kind of have vouched for this, they've written about this, it sounds like the Lions are in love with Aiden Hutchinson. So if he is still on the board there at number two, look for Detroit to to pick him up and keep him in, you know, in the state.
Yeah. I mean, I have a hard time believing that he would fall below two. I mean, Michigan the Lions need an edge rusher. And if Jacksonville Jaguars go with Trayvon Walker at number one, I mean, then I feel like, yeah, it will fill a need for the Lions. And I feel like his floor, his floor is pretty low too, or pretty high. So I think that it would make a lot of sense for the Lions to go in that direction. And if he does fall below that, I that would be a shock to me. I don't know about you.
No, it would. The thing with Aiden Hutchinson and this draft process in general, he is first off, what you see is what you get with Aiden Hutchinson. And I feel like we've said that in the past, having been around him for the better part of the last 3-4 years in Michigan. He's a pretty transparent guy. I think it was Jim Harbaugh that said he was as transparent as a baggie, because there isn't really much unknown about him. So I you're right. I think his floor is high, but his ceiling may not be as high as some of these other prospects. So it comes down to the question, if you're an NFL GM, you know, owner, whoever's ultimately making the decision to draft these guys, do you go with the safe prospect in Aiden Hutchinson, a guy who you know what you're going to get? He's a high motor guy, athletic. He's, you know, he's a good leader, good locker room guy, high IQ, has the pedigree. His father played in the league and he was a star at Michigan. Do you go that route or do you go elsewhere with someone who, you know, may have a higher upside, may be able to pull in, you know, 15, they may be that 15, 20, you know, sack guy a year, like a Kayvon Thibodeau, but you're questioning the work ethic and what he's able to do on a day in, day out basis. So that's what it comes down to. From a safe perspective, I think Aiden Hutchinson, it's reflected in some of these draft analysts who have Aiden Hutchinson as their number one overall prospect on the board, because you know what you're going to get. He's a good player. He's going to be able to come in right away and play. He's a good locker room guy. You know, do you roll the dice with someone else or do you take the safe route? And I think in a draft process where the NFL spends so much money with the Senior Bowl and the combine and pro days to interview these kids and go through every little thing possible to fine tooth comb to try and get as much information, you know what you get Aiden Hutchinson. And that's one of the reasons why he's not going to fall further than two.
Oh yeah. Well said. And if the Jaguars do go with Trayvon Walker at number one, that's based off his ceiling, you would think, because yeah, like 61 tackles and 9.5 sacks over 3 seasons at Georgia, not really jumping off the page there, but again, he's an athletic specimen and the Jaguars, I'm sure, would think that they can develop him and with his high ceiling. So we'll see what happens. It's an interesting storyline heading into Thursday, but yeah, I mean, Hutchinson might not be the only Michigan player to go in the first round. Yeah.
One quick thing, really quick before we go any further, real quick thing on Trayvon Walker. He has risen up the boards pretty quickly. I went and looked. Mel Kiper, back in January, after the season concluded, the offseason began, had him, I think, 24th on his mock draft board. As things have gone on, I think Todd McShay had him like 16th after the combine. So between the combine and pro day and now, he's tested well. He's performed well. He's probably interviewed very well. And that's one of the reasons why you've seen him fly up the draft boards, potentially going number one. In fact, last check, he's the odds-on favorite, you know, from the odds makers and the sports books to go number one now. So we'll see. Fast rise for him. But that's, I think, the difference in these off-season events, whether it's a combine or the pro day and everything. That's, you see stories like this all the time. Guys rise up the boards, maybe not necessarily number one, but it just goes to show what the offseason can do for a guy like him.
Yeah, I know. People say that game tape is the most important thing in evaluating prospects. But, I mean, like you can see with Walker, it's a lot has to do with these pre-draft events, and he sure has taken advantage of it. But, yeah, moving on to Michigan and Ojabo and Daxon Hill. I mean, I saw, I think, a report today that some NFL teams only have, like, first-round grades on, like, 15 players in this draft, which could open the door for Daxon Hill and even an injured David Ojabo to sneak into the first round.
Yeah, there's just so much unpredictability with this year's class. I think part of it is grades are all over the place. We'll have to see years down the line, but maybe this class doesn't stack up as well as the previous classes. But yeah, it's a crapshoot with a lot of these guys, and I think it's one of the reasons why you're starting to see Daxon Hill creep into the first round. In fact, I think it was Mel Kiper, one of them had him like almost mid first round in their latest board. So it's looking more and more likely that Daxon Hill ends up in the first round. I think sportsbooks have his over under where he ends up at 28.5 from a draft perspective. So it's looking like he's going to be a safe first round pick. Right now, he's currently ranked, you know, consensus wise, as the number two best safety in the draft, obviously behind Kyle Hamilton at Notre Dame. So, and Hamilton's expected to probably go top five, maybe top 10. So Daxon probably won't be far behind. He's versatile. And that's one of the key words you hear every year in the draft leadoff. You know, guys that are versatile, that can play multiple spots, that aren't maybe boxed in or shoehorned into one specific spot. As we saw at Michigan, Daxon Hill obviously can play as a true high safety, but he can also get up to the line of scrimmage and bang and defend as a corner, as almost like a slot corner. So I think that'll translate well to the NFL. He's got good size. He's got good speed, as we all saw. I think he ran his 40, was it 4.34 seconds or something, like 4.38, excuse me.
Pretty damn fast, if you ask me.
Yeah, and that always helps. You know, again, we talked about the pre-combine events and the like. That certainly helps. But yeah, he's looking more like to be a first-round pick. It's hard to say where he's going to go. I think some folks had him going to I think I saw Philadelphia or Dallas. I mean, so it's hard to pick maybe more so the place, but he's certainly looking more and more like Michigan could have very well, could have two first-round picks. Now, David Ajabo, before the Achilles, he was certainly a first-round pick. Some folks had him potentially creeping into the top 10. I don't know if I would have went that far, but he was certainly a mid-first-round prospect just based on his productivity and his ceiling and everything else. The Achilles obviously has pushed him back a bit. You know, we were wondering how far his draft stock would fall because of the injury. Keep in mind, I mean, it's not a short thing. It'll probably be rehabbing for a good 6 months. He'll probably miss most, if not all, his rookie season. However, you know, if you look at his productivity at Michigan, his ceiling, keep in mind, he's only been playing football since what, like his junior year of high school. The guy could be very, very good with the right, you know, in the right scheme, with the right coaching staff around him, with the right locker room. So I think at present time, I think mock drafts have him going pretty consensus early mid second round. It's quite possible he sneaks in late first round if someone wants to take a stab at him.
I've seen today, I was looking, I've seen a lot of David Ojabo in the first round. I know in the latest McShay and Kuiper combined mock draft, he was going 30th to the Kansas City Chiefs. Peter King, I think, in his latest mock draft today, had him going 27 to the Buccaneers. So there's definitely definitely a realistic possibility that he can still go in the first round despite that Achilles injury, which is pretty remarkable given, I mean, how serious of an injury that is.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you'd be drafting him based on the ceiling and knowing that he's not going to give you much his first year. So I think for a team to do that, they'd obviously have to be pretty set from a personnel wise. Don't necessarily have a ton of needs. You know, but if you've got a need and you're late in that first round, I don't know, I'd have a hard time taking him that soon. But again, I mean, he could be a very good player. A lot of folks like him. From what I understand, he interviewed very well, and it doesn't surprise me after you know, the session he had with us at the combine. So he's an intriguing guy to watch. He could be number three off the board for Michigan in terms of, you know, Michigan having three first round picks. Still heads toward the early second round, but it's going to be important to watch as the first round kind of goes on to keep an eye on the number of quarterbacks that go, because at some point there will be a run on quarterbacks, then there will be a run on the receivers, and just a matter of when that begins, because we all hear about this quarterback draft class not being very strong and some of these guys not being maybe NFL ready or able to come in and be that franchise guy. But the thing with drafts and groupthink and everything else that comes along with the NFL is once one guy goes, the other teams that are remotely interested in that position, whether it's quarterback, receiver, whatever, they follow suit because they're worried that the quarterbacks go off the board and they're going to get left behind. So we'll see where that goes. If those start early, it's probably going to hurt Ajabo's draft stock. It may hurt Daxon Hill's draft stock. But it's certainly possible Michigan ends up Thursday night with three guys off the board.
Yeah, very true. And there could be a little bit of a gap between those three and the next run of Michigan players expected to go. So I know we do this every year. We got to do it again this year. I'm going to play odds maker a little bit here. And I know you mentioned that Michigan has 12 eligible players, but realistically, like you said, 6 to 9 players will likely be drafted. I'm going to set the total at 8.5. It seems like every year when we do this, I always take the under and I always get burned. So this year, I'm going to set it at 8.5. I'll give the list here of the other guys, or all the guys that could get drafted, and I'll let you weigh in on what you think the number will be. So we got Hutchinson, Daxon Hill, David Ojabo, then offensive lineman Andrew Stuber, defensive tackle Chris Hinton, running back Kasan Haskins, cornerback Vincent Gray, linebacker Josh Ross, safety Brad Hawkins, receiver Daylon Baldwin, and defensive tackle Donovan Jeter. What are you feeling, Aaron? What are you thinking?
I thought you'd go 7.5 with that number, so I'm going under. I think 7 guys probably get taken. I think that's a good middle number. You gave me 8.5, so I think I got one there to burn. I think certainly 6 guys are surefire draft picks. The 3 are, we already mentioned, Aiden Daxton and Ojabo. Stuber's certainly going to go probably day 2. I mean, well, maybe probably day 3. Hassan will probably go. Chris Hinton will probably go. So that's 6. And then I've got question marks on Vince Gray. I've got question marks on Josh Ross. And I've got question marks on Brad Hawkins. Keep in mind, Hawkins did not get a combine invite. I know that isn't the end-all be-all, but he didn't get the looks in front of NFL scouts that he probably should have, or to not only for his stock, but I think he warranted it. I think he got snubbed, and he said so afterwards. So I think that's going to hurt him. Josh Ross, to me, okay. He's a good locker room guy. I think he's going to end up with a team, a practice squad spot somewhere, but he's just too undersized. I don't see a team spending a draft pick on him. Maybe late. I mean, he could surprise me. He could go 7th round, but I just don't see it with him. Vincent Gray is interesting because of those 3 guys, if you were asked, I think the average football fan or the average Michigan fan, they would probably say maybe would go last. But there's intriguing aspects about Vince Gray. 6'2", 192. He's got good size. He's pretty fast. He ran the 40 in 4.54. I know that's not, you know, super fast, but that's not bad either. So I think there's a lot to like about him. He's still raw, and I think there's some question marks about him, but I could see Vince Gray going, of those 3, I could see him being drafted probably first. So I'm going to go under 8.5. I think 7 guys get drafted, but certainly I could see 8. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, we've done this before, as you said, and we tend to get more NFL Michigan guys drafted than maybe we expect. But I'm going to go under 8.5.
Yeah, I mean, you look at last year. I mean, I definitely did not see Cameron Cheeseman going in the 6th round or Ben Mason going in the 5th round. Even Chris Evans was a little bit of a surprise, given that he took the year off or was suspended for 2020 and wasn't that productive in 2020 or in 2021. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. Even the year before that, like, I mean, you had guys like Jordan Glasgow and Josh Metellus all drafted. So there could be some surprises here. And I'll say all of them get drafted, all those guys you mentioned. And I mean, it seems like NFL teams value Michigan guys. I mean, whether that's warranted or not, it's not up to me to decide, but it seems like that teams are willing to take chances on Michigan guys, even if it's for a special teams role early on in their year. So I'll go with 9 players getting drafted, and we'll see what happens. But I'm sick of taking the under and getting burned. So we'll go over this year.
It wouldn't surprise me. You know, we talk about this every year, but as you said, Michigan players tend to get drafted. Some of them may be overdrafted. Now, there's probably a lot of things at stake and play there. I think Michigan probably has a pretty good reputation among the league, just in terms of, you know, the type of player they churn out, the personality wise. I think Jim Harbaugh has a big influence on a lot of that. Obviously, him, his NFL pedigree and his NFL ties. His brother's obviously head coach. As we saw, you know, the Ravens took a guy last year, and it seems like every year at some point they take a Michigan guy. So, wouldn't surprise me. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Daylon Baldwin gets his name called late as well. Right. Between the connections with Jim Harbaugh and Deion Sanders, I think that matters. You know, I do. So we'll see. It should be a fun weekend. I will say this. I think the consensus and the majority of those guys will probably be taken day 3. We talked about the potential first round picks. After that, it's a pretty big drop off. You know, you might see a guy go, if any of those 3 guys we mentioned in the beginning don't go around 1, they'll certainly go around 2. After that, it's kind of a crapshoot. You know, I talked to Chris Hinton this week. He thinks he could go as early as the 3rd round. That's a little bit different than what the analysts and the projections say. I could see Andrew Stuber potentially going 3rd, 4th round, but he could also drop 2, 5th, 6th. So I think you're going to hear a lot of guys call day three or those rounds 4 to 7. But certainly, that number could certainly, approach 9. It would not shock
me. Yeah, I think that just about does it for today's podcast. Any closing thoughts before we wrap up, Aaron?
Well, NFL draft weekend is always so long. So, I caution folks to, tread lightly here. I mean, day one's always fun. Round one's always cool because it's Thursday night and it's opening round. It just gets so long. So I'm looking forward to not really paying attention much this weekend. I'm actually going away for a trip. First draft, I think I missed in several years. So I'm not a bad thing because those things are just so darn long, especially day three. Just like, what is it? Noon to 7.
Yeah, it's a grind. A grind.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting the weekend off. I feel I will pray for you and Andrew. Hopefully you two make it through okay. But yeah, if you're an NFL fan, it's like heaven, your favorite team's drafting X number of players and you can see who comes next. But it's also important to keep in mind, a lot of those late round guys tend to not stick. So don't get too exhausted or invested in some of these players because they may not be around next year for your team. So that being said, enjoy the weekend. It's always a good one. It's in Las Vegas this year. So I think the scenery and the stage is cool. I think they set up there's a stage set up in the Bellagio fountains where the picture are going to be announced or whatever. So it looks pretty cool.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you, NFL draft in Vegas, you can't get much of a better venue than that. So we'll have plenty of coverage at MLive.com throughout the weekend. And thanks for listening.